Good morning. For those of you I have not been able to meet, I'm Sharon Cox, the new addition to your clergy here at St. Martin's. I am so thrilled to be back in Houston, a place I called home and lived in for 22 years, the majority of my business career. And I want to thank the good people of St. Martin's for calling me to serve alongside of you at this incredible parish. St. Martin's is widely recognized as a place where our Lord Jesus is known and proclaimed. All of you have been so warm and welcoming, for which I am grateful. So thank you, for your warm welcome and your prayers for my new beginning as I join the life and ministry here at St. Martin's. And I look forward to serving with you for many years to come. It is fitting that I preach on this particular Sunday, the first Sunday in the season of Advent, the new beginning of a new church year. As a lifelong Episcopalian, I love the liturgical seasons of the church. These ancient markers of time have been used by the church for millennia to assist the people in walking intentionally through the life of Jesus each year, allowing it to intersect with and slowly transform our own lives. As each liturgical season comes and goes, we immerse ourselves in the details of Jesus's life, how his earthly parents prepared for his birth, then the story of his birth, how those around Jesus had an epiphany and began to recognize him as God's gift to the world, how Jesus was tempted into sin, as we all are, but gave us a roadmap for a way out of sin and temptation, how Jesus made friends and how Jesus made enemies, how Jesus lived out the ministry the Father gave him through teaching and the working of miracles, how Jesus suffered and how Jesus died, how Jesus rose to life and then ascended, drawn once again back into the Father's heart. As followers of Jesus, we walk through these events of Jesus' life each year, so that we can attune our own lives to his. Through this, we bring Jesus more deeply into the details of our own lives. In so doing, we set aside the primacy of ourselves, our own desires, and instead, we place Christ in the very center. And as we do this, we experience new beginnings every day as our lives grow more and more to reflect our Lord's. So this is Advent, when we prepare for the event, for the new beginning that changed everything, the coming of God in human form to live among us. I love the imagery of Advent, don't you? The angel coming to a young woman with an invitation to be the bearer of God and waiting for her assent. How a dream comes to her fiancé to support her in this vocation. The shepherds out in the dark of the night, the angels and the wise men following a star, a stable with all the muck that a stable provides, and yet is the very place where God chose to be born to be with us in the muck of our own lives. But I get ahead of myself. For on this first Sunday in Advent, Mark's gospel is not the bucolic vision of Bethlehem or the baby whose birth brings light and life to the world. No, we don't start the season of Advent with these images of Jesus' first coming 2,000 years ago. Instead, we begin with the cosmic signs that seem to signal a new beginning, the coming of the Son of Man at the end of all time. These signs clear the deck for something new when this age comes to an end. And through his descriptions of the signs leading up to the event, Jesus is giving this teaching to encourage his disciples in living with the uncertainty about time itself. Earlier in this 13th chapter of Mark, Jesus lists the typical signs of apocalyptic belief that led up to the end of history. Wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, earthquakes and famines. But Jesus refers to these common features of historical human suffering as birth pains, signaling that God is bringing about something new life, new kingdom, new era, new world. In our passage this morning, Jesus uses his usual teaching technique, the telling of parables, to leave his disciples with one last and very paradoxical teaching before, in Mark's gospel, before he moves towards his passion and the cross. Through the first of these two parables, Jesus first warns his followers to look for signs. Look for the signs of something new about to begin, like when the fig tree begins to put forth new leaves, new fruit. These signs in the natural world signal a new beginning, new life, don't they? But in Jesus' second parable of the householder on a journey, there is no warning of the master's return. No sign from which to prepare for his return, for the new beginning. The slaves of this master are to keep on the job, each with his work, as the parable says. The missionary work must continue, Jesus instructs the disciples. So don't be distracted by speculating when or whether this is the time for his return. Instead, he urges his followers to keep on the job and stay vigilant. Stay awake, be attentive and watchful in order to welcome the true Christ who will usher in the new beginning of the new age. Yes, there will be the ultimate new beginning of which Jesus confirms in our gospel reading today, his second coming. But we are instructed to not be distracted in attempting to read the tea leaves of our lives and the events around us, but to focus on living in the present and keeping at work, spreading the good news of God in Christ Jesus, all the while we remain watchful and attentive to God. For our God is a God of new beginnings. The scriptures are replete with this evidence. In Genesis 1, God creates something new out of nothing. God sends Abram and Sarai out of the land of Ur, promising Abram a new beginning in a new land where his descendants would become a great nation. God comes to a shepherd through a new means, a burning bush, and charges Moses with bringing the Hebrew children into a new life from out of bondage in Egypt. Over and over and over again through the story of our faith, God initiates new beginnings until finally God desires that nothing separate God's self from humans, not even the experience of being human. And God came to dwell on earth in the form of a little human baby, Jesus. Yes, God is a God of new beginnings. And we have to wait and keep doing the work of the kingdom as we live in the tension that things are not quite right, not quite as we thought they would be. Rather than focus on the when of when things are going to get better or when God's new beginning is going to take place, that's when we should remind ourselves that God uses the events of our lives and our time to bring about God's plan for our lives and the life of the world. Now, many times when I visited my longtime spiritual director and confessed how I failed or screwed something up in my life, she would playfully respond, "Don't worry. God uses our faux pas to practice his creativity." Let me repeat that. God uses our faux pas to practice his creativity. God didn't cause COVID-19, but God can practice his creativity through us and our lives to use this pandemic for his glory. If we are being attentive, if we are staying focused on being about God's work, God's mission. Yes, there has been significant loss of lives and livelihoods across the globe. We can fall into fear, be seduced by the negative visions being cast around us, or we can cast aside these narratives of doom and destruction and see that God is still sovereign and a new beginning is about to emerge. As the news over the last few weeks have revealed that vaccines are soon to be released and this novel virus can begin to be tamed, I, for one, don't want to go back to normal life. Not without first learning what God would have me learn about myself and how I interact with others and how I can more and more reflect the light of God's love in this hurting world. As many write off the year 2020 as being absolutely irredeemable, I want to learn what 2020 has to teach me and not just sweep it out on December 31st with a good riddance. I don't know about you, but I want to learn what new beginning God is offering to me and all of us from this time of disease, hardship, sacrifice, and struggle. So back to Advent. In today's gospel, with cosmic visions of the end times, I was told by one of my clergy mentors when I first had to preach on this apocalyptic scripture that if I even mentioned the word apocalyptic or apocalypse, I would have to talk about zombies. Yes, zombies. Seems there is a strain of pop culture that focuses on the destruction of the world and these human, flesh-eating, undead creatures. So here's my shout-out to all you zombie-loving people out there. Let's not wander zombie-like into a new church year or even a new calendar year. Let's enter into Advent being intentional in our waiting and longing for the coming of the Christ child to be born anew in our hearts this Christmas. Can we be attentive to the details of Jesus' life through each season of the church calendar? learning to be more aware of God's new work in our lives and in our world, in which we are called to participate and facilitate. Can we be watchful for opportunities to build God's kingdom while we wait? Can we learn to live and serve in the kingdom of God that is both here and now and is still yet to come? Be awake, be watchful. God's new beginning is breaking forth. It is on its way.